From Psalm 121, listen with me for the word of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. This passage of scripture from the Psalms today is known as a scripture, a journey of ascents, a song of ascents, a joyous proclamation, as we would think, of the people Israel on a journey to the Holy Land, to Mount Zion. As the book of Revelation tells us, Zion is that city on the hill. It speaks of that heavenly home, even as the Old Testament prophets wrote of Mount Zion being the city of David, just out from Jerusalem. The city of David, where the ark was stored. Mount Zion, the journey of the people of Israel. And then many interpreters view this passage of speaking of that journey to Zion being Jerusalem itself. That passage that the people of Israel would make. That intentional journey that they would assemble together in the house of the Lord. So they used this song. It was something to accompany them on their journey as they went forth to Jerusalem, because sometimes it was filled with adversity. It was filled with challenges, those journeys for several days from perhaps the Sea of Galilee down to Jerusalem. Sometimes there were bandits, robbers, people who wished them harm on their way. They needed reassurance that they weren't going alone. So here in our scripture, we hear this summary that says, we lift up our eyes to the hills. They're speaking of Zion. They're speaking of Jerusalem, where the holy temple was, where they were going to worship. They were lifting their eyes up to the hills because there was the help of the Lord. They talk about in this text how as they journey, the Lord wouldn't let their foot be moved in verse 3. And He would watch over them at night as they slept. The sun wouldn't hurt them as they traveled. The moon would not bring predators at night, for the Lord would keep a watch over them. Now those are words of reassurance on a physical journey. I can see how the people of Israel drew strength, confidence for their travels that they were not going it alone. But you know, I think there's a message for us in this scripture today. Perhaps not so much on a physical journey that we're going to take, but maybe our spiritual journey, our journey with God. Sometimes that journey that we feel real close to God, and then at other times when perhaps we've drifted away and there seems to be no journey with God at all. Or maybe this journey would speak to us as a family, or as a person dealing with our own grief, our pain, our illness in our lives. This scripture gives us guidance for the journeys that we face in life. So let's examine it today in a practical sense in our real life experiences that we may be going through. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, in many ways, this passage of scripture, this ancient psalm, embodies for us much of the Apostles' Creed. It's one of the only passages that the creed quotes. We say that creed each week, and sometimes we can say it so often that we forget to hear it. It begins by saying, "The Lord is the maker of heaven and earth." That's a direct quote here from Psalm 21. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, to the one who made heaven and earth." In other words, God not only is the one who made us, but God is the one who is our help, our sure and certain hope in a world that often lets us down. God will not fail us. He is our help. He is our strength. He is our protector in our journey, whatever the obstacles, the turns, the challenges we face as family, in friendships, in work, in life. He goes with us. In verse 3 of this text, I find reassurance for the only times in life where we feel that we've brought peril upon ourselves. Here he says in verse 3, "He will not let your foot be moved." In other words, as we are journeying, sometimes we step places we shouldn't step, right? Sometimes we get off the path and maybe we get on loose soil and we stumble. In other words, sometimes we bring peril upon ourselves. As we hear of the times that we stumble in our lives. You know, I think back, Monya and I were laughing this week, thinking about an experience that we had when Luke was just a toddler. He loved to eat pickles. Still loves pickles. He didn't burn out on them. He loves dill pickles. And one day we had some friends to come over and we were visiting with them just outside the front door. And Luke stayed behind in the kitchen. And we heard him every little bit. He would whine, and then he would stop, and then he'd whine again, and then he would stop. We went back in the kitchen. It wasn't a passionate cry. It was just a little whine. And what Luke had done, he had gotten out a jar of jalapenos. Because he liked pickles, right? And he'd pull a jalapeno out of that juice and knew that it had been pickled and it had that pickle flavor, and he'd put it in his mouth because he knew he liked pickles. But then he'd realize it was hot and he'd whine and he'd repeat it over and over. He kept going back because he had tasted it before and he knew they were good, but some reason this time they weren't so good. Doesn't that sound familiar at times? We too reach for the things in life sometime that promise us a good taste, something of quality, something we will enjoy. They give us just a little bit of satisfaction. But then they give us that pain like the heat of the jalapenos that Luke was experiencing even as a toddler. But the cycle so often continues. We reach back and find ourselves receiving far less good than we do bad. When we reach to the things of the world. When we stumble on our journey. In other words, when we bring peril upon ourselves by the bad decisions, the mistakes we make, the sin we embrace. But here, the psalmist says to us that even if we stumble, God is with us to right us on our path, to forgive us for our sins, to set us back on the path of righteousness. And yes, what we spoke about even in our young disciple time, true joy that's found only in our Lord. He continues verse 3 by saying that not only will God not allow our foots to be moved, but he who keeps you will not slumber. And then in case we missed it, he repeats it in verse 4. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's there. We think about the prophets, the writings where the prophet said to us, maybe the ones who worship Baal, maybe your God is asleep. But the God of heaven never sleeps. I think of the story once I heard of the fable from the Cherokee Nation where the passage for a young Cherokee going from youth to adulthood, it embodied this ceremony where the young child would go into the wilderness. He would be blindfolded and sat upon a stump, and he had to make it the entire night in the depths of that wilderness, not being able to see, sitting on the stump, all frail, all vulnerable to what may come. It must have been a fearful experience. And for the young child that gathered on that stump and sat with a blindfold over his eyes, there must have been much fear. Many questions, a long night, but on each occasion, the next morning, when the child was able to remove the blindfold from his eyes, he would see sitting there, laying right beside him, his father, who had never left him the entire night. Wow. It's reassurance to know that even when we're in our darkest times, even when we feel the blindfolds of life, that we don't know what's coming, that our God, like the Cherokee father, never sleeps on our watch. God does not slumber. He does not sleep. He protects us and guides us on our journey of faith and life, even through the darkest of times. The psalmist continues in verse 5 by saying, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." You know, I think of this passage and it reminds me of that very familiar psalm to many of us, Psalm 23, where the psalmist says this, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and we've interpreted that text to mean that it's saying in the words of the psalmist that I'm right up against death. I'm in the shadow of death. Or in other words, I'm in the shade of death. Or in other words, I'm as close to death as I can be. It's as close as my shadow. That was the words of the psalmist. In Psalm 23, he was speaking of his plight, of his peril, and letting the reader know that God was there even then. But here the psalmist speaks of another shadow, of a shade of another kind, not the shadow of death, but the shadow of Almighty God being upon us always. Wow. He says to us, did you hear it? Will you receive it with me again here today, church, that God is our shade at our right hand. He is as close to us as our shadow. No matter what we journey through, He is with us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't turn away. He continues there by saying in the remainder of this passage in verse 6 and 7, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." You know what I think of when I hear that? The sun in the ancient world, it was a great hazard. They had to wear clothing to protect themselves. They didn't have the sunscreens that we had today. They had to protect themselves from the sun. It could bring physical peril to them. And such it was with the moon. There was belief in ancient times that epilepsy or other mental or emotional illnesses could be caused by the moon, by the positioning of the moon. The very word lunatic comes from the word lunar in the Greek form. There was belief in the sun and the moon affecting us physically, emotionally, and mentally. And here the psalmist says God is with us in all of that. I tell you, friends, I find peace in that. Because at times, it's not so much the times I stumble. For me, sometimes it's not so much what I bring upon myself, but sometimes it's what the world brings upon me. Sometimes it's the grief or the physical or the emotional pain that we all will experience at some point in our journey of life. And hear this, people of faith. Or hear this, even if we listen and wonder if we have any faith, that God is with us in our brokenness, in our physical unrest, when we are sick, whether it be mentally or emotionally imbalanced, God is there, that it will not conquer us. He is our hope, eternal. And finally, he says here in verse 7 that the Lord will keep us from all evil. He will keep your life. You know, I find confidence there. You know, I think this passage we must consider here, that it doesn't say we won't go through challenges in life. We all know that we're going to face illnesses and evil. We're going to stumble at times because of the things that we do. But sometimes, friend, the evil of this world is going to sneak up on us and tap us on our shoulder and catch us completely off guard. We're going to go through challenges. We're going to face adversity. Scripture doesn't promise that, but what it does promise is that it will not take our life. Yes, maybe even in this life, our life will be lost, but not ultimately. Our living will never end when we put our hope in the God and Savior, Jesus Christ above. Our life, our hope is secure forever. You know, I think that segues into our final verse where the psalmist says here, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Now, what does that mean, the going out and the coming in? Please allow me a little liberty here to place my own interpretation on this passage. I've got to think when the psalmist says the going out and the coming in. The coming in, that's maybe when we've got it together, right? That's when we have our A game of being a good church member. That's when our faith is firm and we're walking in the path that we should be. We're coming in. We're going into the house of worship. We're dwelling in our relationship with God. That's when we're coming into the fold. And God is there. Scripture proclaims God is there to meet us, to embrace us, to welcome us in our coming in to right relationship with Him. But also, God is with us in our going out. When things aren't so good, when we feel the most broken in our life, when we embrace sin, when we truthfully and honestly are turning away from God, He is still there. Because when we embrace the love of Jesus Christ, friends, it never lets us go. He guards us in our coming in and our going out from this time on and forevermore. You know, many of us heard recently of the train wreck that occurred, the tragedy where so many lives were lost. And in that day, there was covered the actions of one hero, a man named Rashard Perkins, who when interviewed this black man who was saving so many white people, so many people who looked differently from him, or perhaps acted or believed differently from him. He said in response to the questions of why he did it, he said, when I saw all those people running out, that's when I knew I needed to run in. When asked why he did it, he said, well, that's just the way my mama and daddy raised me. And so it is with us. Friends, when the world is running away, When the world is sprinting, trying to get away from us, perhaps at our worst. When we are no good in the eyes of those around us, that's when Almighty God above, in a way far greater than Rashad Perkins, looks to us and runs for us and delivers us with His love, because He guards us and loves us forevermore when we're coming in and going out, that He may be glorified forever. Amen.